testimony interrupted when the president slammed the witness with a tweet.
It's very intimidating.
It's designed to intimidate, is it not?
What we learned from the impeachment hearings? What's next? I'm Scott Simon.
And I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro, and this is Up First from NPR News. Plus, three service members accused of war crimes are cleared by President Trump.
One of them, a former Green Beret accused of murdering an unarmed Afghan man, will no longer stand trial.
The president intervened against the advice of military leaders. Why did the Pentagon want him to stay out of those cases?
And also a setback in the fight to eradicate polio.
A live vaccine used outside the U.S. is causing some people to get sick.
Please stay with us. We'll give you the news you need to start your weekend.
Support for NPR and the following message come from ExxonMobil, which is growing algae for biofuels that could one day power trucks, ships, and planes with fewer greenhouse gas emissions. Find out more about biofuels at energyfactor.com. Support also comes from the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. Earn 5% back at Walmart online and 2% at Walmart in-store, restaurants, and travel. The Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. What's in your wallet? Terms and exclusions apply.
Millions of people tuned into the first public impeachment hearings this week, and the testimony they heard was dramatic.
Marie Yovanovitch, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, testified yesterday. She was fired by President Trump after she'd served both Republicans and Democrats for decades. Here's Democratic counsel Daniel Goldman questioning her.
Were you aware that President Trump had specifically made reference to you in that call?
No.
What was your reaction to learning that?
I was shocked. Absolutely shocked and devastated, frankly.
On Wednesday, other top U.S. diplomats described how they felt their work was undermined by the president. Democrats are trying to prove that the president was working against U.S. interests to help his reelection campaign. Here to talk about what happened and what's next is NPR White House correspondent Franco Ordonez. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, let's start with Bill Taylor, a diplomat who was based in Ukraine. There was a big reveal, right?
Right. On Wednesday, William Taylor, the top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine, revealed something new. He said that one of his aides in Ukraine overheard a telephone conversation where the president brought up, quote, the investigations to Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union. Well, last night, that aide, David Holmes, gave a deposition about the conversation behind closed doors. Holmes said, or he said he heard Trump say, quote, so he's going to do the investigation. And Sondland responded, according to Holmes, he's going to do it. That's according to a copy of his opening statement obtained by CNN, but I will say that NPR has confirmed the statements.
So that seems like a lot. And yesterday we heard Marie Yovanovitch speak in very serious terms about her own experience.
That's right. On a more personal level, Marie Yovanovitch, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, talked about feeling threatened by President Trump. And she pointed to President Trump's July 25th call with his Ukrainian counterpart, where Trump told President Zelensky she was, quote, going to go through some things.
And President Trump was clearly listening.
Yeah. Not only was he listening, he started to attack her via Twitter about her record as a diplomat. And on top of that, Democratic Chairman Adam Schiff, who is leading the impeachment inquiry, stopped for a moment and read the tweets to Yovanovitch in the hearing room. He asked her if they were designed to be intimidating.
I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
Well, I want to let you know, Ambassador, that some of us here take witness intimidation very, very seriously.
Schiff describes this as further evidence of obstruction, and some Democrats suggested it could be added to possible articles of impeachment. Trump told reporters later in the day he was just exercising his freedom of speech.
So what happens next? The Democrats have 8 more witnesses, right, for public hearings. What can you tell us about that?
It's going to be another potentially crazy week. One person people are very eager to hear from is Gordon Sondland, who we just talked about. So far, Trump has repeatedly criticized witnesses for not having firsthand information. Well, Sondland has had discussions directly with President Trump, including the one alleged by Holmes. He can also corroborate Taylor's testimony that Trump asked about investigations of Biden. Other witnesses include people who worked at the National Security Council, like Alexander Vindman and Fiona Hill. The list also includes 2 witnesses who Republicans have requested, Ukraine envoy Kurt Volker and NSC official Tim Morrison.
That's Franco Ordonez, NPR White House correspondent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Last night, President Trump cleared three servicemen accused of war crimes.
He intervened in three different cases, granting full pardons to two men and reversing the demotion of a third.
NPR's Tom Bowman has been following the story and joins us. Tom, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Scott.
And please tell us about these three men.
Well, Scott, you have two Army officers, Lieutenant Clint Lawrence and Major Matt Goldstein, and a Navy SEAL, Edward Gallagher. Lawrence was in Afghanistan in 2012 and ordered his soldiers to fire on three men on motorcycles. Two of the Afghans were killed and one fled. Goldstein also served in Afghanistan and in 2010 was awarded a Silver Star for bravery. And he also allegedly killed a bomb maker. The Army investigated and said, and no charges were filed. Then Goldstein later said on Fox News that he indeed killed the bomb maker. And finally, Gallagher, the Navy SEAL, was acquitted in Iraq in 2018 with killing a captive enemy fighter with a hunting knife and also threatening to kill fellow Navy SEALs if they told on him. And he was acquitted of all charges.
President Trump has been vocal in their behalf for a while now. What did the White House statement say last night?
Well, the president praised all three. Again, Army Lieutenant Clint Lawrence, Army Major Matt Goldstein, and Navy SEAL Edward Gallagher. He said they were in dangerous areas in Iraq and Afghanistan, were looking after their men, were decorated, and had support of members of Congress.
And how does that square, Tom, with what you understand?
Well, the White House statement left out many details, Scott, about what happened and the reaction of their colleagues. With Major Goldstein, that the man he killed was unarmed, alleged bomb maker, and Goldstein buried the body, returned with two other soldiers to burn the body. With Lieutenant Lawrence, that his own soldiers said the Afghan was unarmed, the Afghans, and he ordered the order killed, and they posed no imminent threat, and they actually testified against him. And with Chief Petty Officer Edward Gallagher, that he was acquitted of charges of killing a civilian, but he was demoted by a senior officer.
And Tom, I know you've been talking to sources in the military. Can you tell us what their reaction's been so far?
Well, frankly, disgust in so many words. I spoke with two retired four-star officers who said the president has the power to offer clemency and restore a promotion, but they said it all undermines the military justice system. Now, we know that Defense Secretary Mark Esper, he told reporters 2 weeks ago that he had a, quote, robust discussion with the president about the cases, about the importance of the military justice system. And he said, facts and my advice. And clearly the president in this case just brushed aside the advice and decided he could do this on his own.
NPR Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Scott.
Just last month, the World Health Organization announced that two out of the three strains of polio had been eradicated.
It's been one of the great success stories of modern medicine.
Yeah, and the disease, which can lead to paralysis, has been reduced to just a handful of cases worldwide.
But now scientists say there's been a troubling setback. One of the vaccines used to prevent polio has actually been causing some people to get polio. And NPR's Jason Beaubien joins us. Jason, thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning.
I understand the problem begins with what's called a live vaccine, which has little bits of weakened poliovirus in it, given to children around the world. What seems to have gone wrong?
Yeah, that is the crux of it, that the oral polio vaccine that's used primarily in low- and middle-income countries, it's been the workhorse of this global effort to eradicate polio. But it is a live vaccine. It's cheap. It's easy to administer. Billions of doses of this have been used to basically push polio back into this corner where it's only existing in Afghanistan and Pakistan. However, this live vaccine continued to be used worldwide. And while you're doing that, eventually what has been happening is that some of that vaccine has gotten out into the world and it's mutated. And some people think, oh, the vaccine itself was directly causing polio. That's not what's happening. What's happening is even sort of more sinister on the virus's part. Basically, the virus gets out into the community. It starts circulating again, just like regular polio. But early on, it's still a vaccine. It's not dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, it sort of regains strength. And they're finding they can actually genetically see this. Scientists can. They can actually trace it back directly to the vaccine. And now these vaccine-linked cases are actually causing more cases of paralysis each year than actual traditional what scientists call wild polio.
We should underscore, Jason, this is not the version of the vaccine that's given to youngsters in the United States.
Yeah.
Why are other countries still using it?
Right. So in the United States and in Europe and other countries like that, we're using an injectable vaccine, which is a dead vaccine. It is not a live virus, and it cannot cause polio. So that should not at all be a concern. Mm-hmm. The issue, however, is that it's an injection that has to be given. It's given four times between the ages of 2 months and 7 years. So just administering it is difficult. And just frankly, there is not enough global stockpile of that vaccine to vaccinate all of the children around the world over the course of their childhood. So there's some real problems with that. That ultimately would be the goal, is to eventually get to the point where you're not using the oral polio vaccine, but it's not logistically possible at this point.
You learned this week the Centers for Disease Control takes this problem so seriously, they're actually sending dozens of experts to these countries affected. What do they plan to do?
Yeah, they're calling it the surge, and they're going to be deploying between 75 and 100 extra staff from the CDC out primarily into Africa to try to just address these vaccine-derived outbreaks and just clamp them down as soon as they can. Because the idea is that if you can stop them, then you will stop that virus from continuing to spread. So they're going to go out, they're going to help ministries of health identify these cases when a paralysis case comes in, help test it, help make sure that it actually is polio virus that they're dealing with and not some other thing that's causing paralysis, and really try to strengthen these systems so that they can get control of this and hopefully get rid of this other source of polio at a time when they're tantalizingly close to actually wiping out the disease.
And NPR's Jason Beaubien, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And that's Up First for Saturday, November 16th. I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro.
And I'm Scott Simon. Start your day here on Monday and follow us on social media.
That's right. You can follow us on Twitter at Up First for your daily roundup of the most important stories of the day.
And you know, if you want even more NPR news, we got radio shows for that. We host those too, in fact.
We're everywhere. Find NPR's Weekend Edition on your NPR station or at stations.npr.org.
I'm Peter Sagal. I hope you're enjoying this very serious NPR podcast that provides important information presented in a respectful way. When you get tired of that, try Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR show so unlike NPR, we're kind of amazed it's on NPR. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. Listen now.
And finally, one last thanks to UpFirst sponsor Walmart. When historic flooding hit Fremont, Nebraska, the local Walmart stayed open to distribute life-saving supplies because every community has a story and a Walmart. Learn more at walmart.org/community.